It is Roe Concho with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. Over the last number of years, there's been a story that is sort of bubbling under through the Chicago Police Department. It is now seeing new light because of all the things that have come out over the last couple of weeks that have risen to the political level. Let's put it that way, where you've got Rahm Emanuel, whose politics have now turned from being very defensive of the Chicago Police Department to basically to firing the superintendent and saying publicly that there has been a that there are certain elements of the police department and there's a certain
checkered history of misconduct were the words he used in his editorial in within the police department.
And that and he did when he was speaking to the city council last week said, how can we expect there not to be a code of silence on the streets of Chicago when there's a code of silence in the Chicago Police Department? And now there has been this case of these two Chicago police officers who did cooperate and uncover some very bad stuff that was happening in front of them in the police department. And in this particular case, it is now turned into a civil case. And in this civil case, they are asking that the mayor come forward and testify, at least by deposition, to the fact that there is a code of silence in the Chicago Police Department.
Because they've already gotten a deposition, the attorneys in this case, from the expert witness submitted by the city, speaking on behalf of the city and the police department, and that expert witness denied there was a code of silence. So now you have the mayor saying something different.
And you may remember the names Daniel Echeverria and also Shannon Spaulding. These were police officers who it ended up now that this has been going on since 2012, I believe. And they uncovered a situation in which there were police officers who were going into public housing units, public housing buildings, and shaking down drug dealers and marketing, you know, stealing drugs and stealing the money. And both of these police officers, sergeants, have since been convicted and served jail time.
That's right.
In these cases. And Shannon Spaulding, one of the officers, is joining us right now on the Super Celebrity Hotline. Shannon, thanks very much for being with us.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Let's talk a little bit about let's start with how this whole thing started. Where were you working, and at what point did you realize that you needed to say something to somebody?
Well, we were working within the narcotics unit of the Chicago Police Department, and there came a point when, after repeatedly hearing the same information from source after source after source, and the information never deviated, that the Chicago police officers and some of the supervisors were involved in the drug operation itself, we realized that there was enough complaints that it needed to be reported to the Chicago Police Department to be investigated to whether the allegations were legitimate or not.
Shannon, did you ever see it or witness it firsthand, what you believe to be misconduct or corruption amidst this group of officers?
No, I did not. Not initially when this first started, no.
And then eventually you did? Or when did you start getting, you know, very serious about, hey, I've got to go up the chain of command here. I have to report what I'm seeing here that looks like it might be misconduct, corruption, potentially stealing. At what point did you say, hey, this is a big deal. I need to make sure I report it.
I don't remember the year, but the investigation began along a joint investigation with the Chicago Police Department and the FBI began in August of 2008, I believe it was. And prior to that, my partner, Danny Echeverria, had reported and actually brought a supervisor in on one of the conversations about the corruption and reported it as required by the general orders of the department, letting them know that this is what we are hearing, this is what is being reported, and what do you want? You know, how do you want me to document this? At which point that supervisor said, don't document any of this. We don't want to hear this. We're not documenting any of this. And that's when it became apparent that it didn't seem like the department was going to look into the allegations on any level.
Would you call that the code of silence? Is that what you would read that as?
I That, along with many other things, is a code of silence, yes.
Well, all right, let's stick with this for just a second before we get into that other stuff. Did you have any suspicion that maybe there was some other kind of investigation going on, or that they didn't want you to be part of it any longer? I mean, is there any moment where you thought, okay, well, maybe this is above the right thing is being done, but I'm just not a part of it? Or did you always assume that the right thing wasn't being done?
Well, initially, that's what we thought. We thought that maybe the supervisors were going to do what was called a confidential complaint against the individuals. And therefore, we would have no knowledge of that because it is confidential. And they would not want it documented so that no one within the department would know that the investigation was ongoing. So we gave them the benefit of the doubt, but it wasn't too much after the fact that we learned through a conversation up in the detective division that the department was well aware of the longstanding corruption. And we heard a conversation with detectives that said the department is well aware of it, and there have been ongoing complaints for years, and they naming the same individuals, at which point we realized that we probably there probably wasn't going to be an investigation into the alleged corruption.
All right. And what happened to you at that point? At that, I know in these legal documents that have been filed, there is an argument that then you were marginalized as a police officer.
Oh, what happened was my partner and I could not in good conscience just let this go because the allegations were so severe. So we decided to, report it to the FBI, and then hopefully it would be resolved that an investigation would happen and it would be resolved and they would have charges brought against them or be acquitted and, everything would move on smoothly. Unfortunately, my identity got revealed during the course of the investigation, the joint investigation with the Chicago Police Department and the FBI. And that is, once other officers or the department knows that you are breaking the code of silence, it literally ruins your life. Your life takes a turn that you cannot even imagine is going to happen. You have no idea the retaliation.
Well, what kind of things happen?
Oh, to me personally,
yeah.
I can. As far as retaliation, I was banned from the building that I worked from. Commanding officers of the Chicago Police Department decided that because I was a quote rat and liked to put my own in jail, that they didn't want me in the building. So they banned me from the building I was assigned to work in. They instructed other officers that if I attempted to enter, to arrest me. I was told after a meeting that I needed to wear my bulletproof vest coming and going from my personal vehicle because one of the exempt members was so mad at me for bringing in an outside agency that he would shoot me across the parking lot if possible. I was instructed by another one of my supervisors that by multiple supervisors, in fact, that if I or my partner needed help on the street, backup from other officers, it wasn't coming. In fact, he went so far to say, and I will be the one telling your daughter you're coming home in a box.
Oh my God.
My tires were slashed repeatedly in a private police facility. My partner's windshields were put out. This happened on a regular basis. It continued. I went to walk into a facility and walk past an officer that I had worked fine with for years, and he spit at my feet and called me a rat. And that was every day I felt I was walking into the lion's den because I knew that, the powers to be, the upper bosses, the command staff, was informing the officers, the blue shirt, don't trust her. You can't work with her. Look what she did to these other officers. She's a rat.
Well, these two officers, though, I want to point this out, though, Sergeant Ronald Watts and Police Officer Khalat Muhammad were both convicted, right?
Eventually.
They both pled guilty. Yes, they both pled guilty.
But you're saying that there were other officers involved. You're alleging that that was the case and that they didn't pay attention to that. Or why wouldn't you be satisfied if these two officers did actually serve prison time?
Well, because the investigation that my partner and I were involved in there were other members of the department that were what we would classify as targets of the investigation or alleged to be involved in the corruption, and they are still actively on the job and have never been reprimanded or disciplined and still have a badge and still go to work and receive a paycheck. Yet, because I chose to report corruption on my own, I had to turn my badge in.
Right. Shannon, would the city argue or the police department argue that you weren't a good officer, that you had some issues in your personnel file, that there were some things over time that maybe there's nothing to do with this whistleblowing, it has to do with some other stuff?
Well, you know, they may, you know, to be honest with you, Anna, I have no idea what the city will or won't try to argue at this point.
But what's the truth?
Well, at one time they said this case had no merit because the code of silence does not exist. Now they're saying there is a code of silence. Up until the point that I became involved in this investigation, you know, we were officers in good standing. We had good records. We worked on specialized units on high-profile cases, and we didn't have any problem. The minute that we reported the corruption, that is when, allegedly, we turned into the worst officer in the department, and only after the fact.
Okay, so now in the civil case that is ongoing here, you're asking the mayor to sit down for a deposition. What is the hope of your team here, of you and your lawyers and of your partner, in terms of what he's going to say? What are you looking for from the mayor?
Well, I don't know that we're asking him to sit down for a deposition. I think we're asking him to be a witness should this go to trial, but maybe it is a deposition. Again, I'll state that they have publicly stated, when I say they, I mean the city of Chicago, you know, and the powers to be, and that this case has no merit because there is no code of silence. They also sent the expert witness in, their expert witness, who stated very shortly before Rahm said, yes, a code of silence exists, he stated, under federal oath in a deposition, there is no code of silence within the Chicago Police Department. Well, you can't have it both ways. I mean, you just came out and said there is a code of silence. You know, if there is a code of silence and you are now aware of this, why are every one of my defendants still working? Why are they, if they haven't retired or left for other scrutiny or for whatever reason, why are they working? Why are they allowed to work when they're accused of, you know, being involved in criminal conduct? I mean, if they're willing to do this to one of their own, you know, what are they going to do to citizens?
What do you do now? You're no longer with the police department. What do you do?
When we're not working on this case, I have worked with some activists. I have, you know, tried to bring forward what I feel is a point that hasn't been brought out very much in the media. I mean, we hear over and over again about, you know, what do we do about these bad cops? What do we do about these corrupt cops? But what I don't hear and what I'm trying to bring to light is, what do we do to honor the good officers? The officers, 99% of them that come to work and work with honor every single day, that see corruption and want to report it, but have no confidence in their department, and know that if they do report it, they will walk in the same shoes I walked, and it will ruin their career. And that is enough to keep you silent. And one more thing is, when they retaliated against me, when they chastised me, when they humiliated me, when they created a hostile work environment and instructed officers not to work with me, they made sure to make an example out of me, so that if you are an officer, look at Officer Spalding and Echevarria. If you open your mouth and go against the code of silence and go against your own, this is what will happen to you. So how can you in good conscience tell an officer that they should be reporting corruption when they have no resources? And even if you do report it, the chances of the criminal activity by the corrupt officers ever being reprimanded or them ever being disciplined is slim to none. Nothing. You're going to ruin your career, and nothing is going to happen to the bad cop.
All right. Shannon Spaulding, thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Shannon.
And, okay, thank you.
And we will undoubtedly be hearing more Definitely. Of this story now. Obviously, we have the first interview with her. Mm-hmm. She will be you'll be seeing a lot more of this over the next number of hours and days in the media, and be able to make up your own mind about
credibility. Yeah, what you think happened here, and the mayor being called to testify. We'll have to see what happens there as well.